Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Exodus. The Old Testament book of Exodus, and we want to be looking at tonight, experiencing God, the purpose for His deserts. Have you ever been through a desert in your life, maybe a financial desert, maybe an emotional desert? You felt like no one cared, no one was interested in you, and you just seemed you was all alone. You may as well have been in a desert because you didn't feel like there was a person within a million miles of your life. You know, if the truth is known, there are so many individuals today that are walking through deserts. And I know some this day are walking through deserts of loss and tragedy and all sorts of deserts we face. And yet God has some wonderful purposes for your life and for my life whenever we face those deserts of life. In the book of Exodus, chapter 3, I want to read only three verses. You may find yourself in one of the driest deserts you've been in your life. And it's alone. You feel like nobody cares. No one's around. And yet there are some wonderful things that God has to teach us whenever we're in the desert. Do you ever stop and realize that the God who created you also is the one who allows the deserts in your life? Paul put it this way on over in the New Testament. He said, "And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. But what in the world can there be any good when it comes to the deserts?" Well, there's all sorts of things that you and I can find out about ourselves in the desert, but I want you to look in Exodus chapter 3, and I want you to look in verses 1 through 3. "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned.'" If you'll notice the very first thing in chapter 3, verse 1, one of the things that you find out is simply this. Moses finds himself in a desert. The backdrop to this passage of Scripture, if you read earlier on in the book of Exodus, Moses had killed an Egyptian soldier. He was arguing with a Hebrew, and the Bible says that Moses just literally took justice into his own hands, and he killed the Egyptian, and he hid him in the sand. Now, do you ever stop and think and allow your mind to think that some of the greatest men in the Bible had a tainted and tarnished past when you look into their life? You know, you and I don't really stop and think about that. We think about Moses, the great man of God. But you need to look at who he was before he was the great man of God. David, the great king of Israel and over the capital of Jerusalem. But a lot of times we don't look at the back of David or Moses. Or we don't think about Abram, a person who, he told some shady stories from time to time to save his life. And we don't want to think about that, but the Bible makes it clear that everything that God allows to go on in your life, whenever it comes to the deserts, are not by accident. Every single desert situation you will face in your life, God has something wonderful to teach you if you will allow yourself to learn what He wants to teach to your life in that particular time. Now, I want you to get a pencil, a piece of paper out if you have one, and I want to give you three reasons for the deserts of your life. We don't like them, we don't want them, we don't appreciate them, and that's just being honest, and that's simply being a human being. You may have some desert of sickness. Whatever it is, we all have deserts. You have deserts, and the Bible makes it very clear that in the life of Moses, he was not without his deserts as well. And so he found that there was no way out of his desert. As a matter of fact, if he had gone back to Egypt, or if he had been seen in a situation, you know, Moses' life probably would have been taken from him if they had the power, but God was preserving his life. But there are some very specific reasons that you and I need to come to terms with our deserts. First and foremost, deserts are designed for personal inventory. In Exodus 3, Moses is coming out of a desert, But before he was released from the desert, there was a long time of personal inventory in his life. You know, one of the things we don't like to do is inventory our life. But when Moses was on the backside of the desert, God brought him to face who he really was before he can go any further. You know, as long as we're busy, life is busy, things are busy, then we don't really stop and evaluate our life. Have you ever noticed some of the terminology we use? I'm just so busy, I don't even have time to think. Or I'm so busy, I don't, and we finish the sentences. Because one of the things that we allow ourselves to do, we allow ourselves to get so busy because one of the realities we don't want to face up to whenever it comes to our life is facing ourselves. In the life of Moses, there was no way that God could use him in a great, wonderful, and magnificent way until Moses came to face with Moses. Moses had to face the reality that, yes, he had murder in his heart. You don't commit murder unless you've got it in your heart. You don't get mad with somebody and angry and hold bitterness unless you've got that in your heart. And as long as we're busy, you know, places to go, things to do, we don't look at ourselves. We don't look at our lives. We don't take inventory. And when God brought Moses into the desert, where he was all alone, nobody to talk to, no other human being around. Don't you think that Moses took some serious time to take inventory of his life? Moses had to face up to the reality. He loses his temper. Do you lose your temper? Moses had to face up to the reality that there were some things about his life that until they were rectified and remedied, God could not use him. Oftentimes we say this, and you've heard me say it so many times, God can use anybody he wants, however he wants. You need to understand Scripture carefully. God had to take time and to deal with Moses, and he had to teach him some things. And he had to show Moses that there was no way to be greatly used until he allowed God to deal with his temper. What causes you to strike somebody and get mad at somebody and kill somebody? Because something is going on in your heart that is not pleasing to God. While Moses had received the best training in all areas, that didn't change his disposition. Do you realize you can have whatever degrees, you can have, you know, BA, BS degree, master's degree, PhD, but if you don't allow God to deal with your disposition, you'll never go very far. That's why a lot of people don't go very far in the economy of God. They are educated, they're smart, they're intelligent, they're bright, but they've never allowed God to shape their disposition. You say, well, God's God, he can shape me if he wants to. You can resist God. God used the deserts so Moses could find out about himself. What do you find out about yourself in your desert? Do you find out how self-reliant you really are? How dependent upon yourself you are? How you don't seek anybody's counsel? You see, every one of us in this building tonight, you're a person in whom God wants to use mightily. I think about little Kaylee, how God has a magnificent future in store for her life. And every one of us, as we walk in obedience to him. But do you let the Father correct your disposition? You see, those places of isolation, God allows us just like he did Moses. I heard this said by a tremendous servant of God, nothing can be all bad if it causes you to depend more and more in the Lord God. Nothing can be all bad if it causes you to depend in the Lord God. You know, in the life of Moses, he had to face the hard fact he had a rebellious spirit. Can you be saved and be rebellious? Absolutely. You can be saved, know you're going to heaven when you die, and yet have a rebellious spirit to the point that God can never give you an assignment. Can God give you an assignment? You say, well, God's God. He can do whatever he wants to. Can he give you an assignment and you know you'll follow through with it? You'll obey him and you'll do whatever he says? You see, a lot of times we just face the fact that we're in control of our lives. We do whatever we want. We may blame others. We may blame a spouse for some of the things that happened in our life, but here's the reality. A lot of times it's just us. Moses could have blamed the Egyptian. If the Egyptian had not jumped onto the Hebrew, he wouldn't have had to do what he did. He didn't have to do what he did anyway. Moses' desert, God brought him to realize who he was. In your deserts, here's what you can expect God to do. He will come to you and he will reveal who you really are. Who you really, 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 really are. He'll show you yourself. He'll show you how you respond. You're in a situation, you're in a crisis in life. Are you honest or do you lie? Maybe you're in some type of situation. Maybe it's a financial need. What do you do? Do you trust God or do you manipulate? You know, your desert reveals you. Well, second of all, deserts are for pruning. Now, I don't know if you've ever watched very many people that prune, but it's not a very pretty sight. You know, some of you men have trees. Maybe you've got an orchard and you have to do some pruning. You have to do some cutting back. Or maybe you've got some roses. We've got a neighbor that lives just down the road from me, and he's got some beautiful, beautiful trees, and they blossom. And this year, he just destroyed them, it looked like. I mean, there was shrubbery everywhere. Why? Because he pruned it. Listen, do you realize that God allows your deserts in your life to prune you? Now, think about this for a moment. You've got a nice, large lawn. It's been very nice, but you just decide, you know what? That lawn will look all right a week from now. I don't have to mow it. And then you say, well, I'm going to go 2 weeks. It still won't look too bad. Then you decide 3 weeks and 4 weeks and 5 weeks. How would your yard look then? All of a sudden, you'd start seeing all these little seedlings and all these weeds grow up. And you give about a month or less than a month, and what does your yard look like? You can have the most beautiful house and the least kept yard, and the house looks horrible. Why? Because the yard's not been taken care of. What type of house does your personal house look like? Is it manicured? Do you allow the Father to prune you? Or do you fight against the pruning process? Listen, God didn't just take Moses to the backside of the desert to reveal to who he was. God took him there to prune him. God took him there to take the things that didn't bring glory to him and to sift them away. Why? Because our selfish, self-centeredness can never bring glory to the God that created us. And whenever God allows pruning into your life, you know, there's going to be some stinging. God gained Moses' attention about his temper, about his heart. And the plain truth is God just cut away from Moses those things that were not becoming. And that is what God does in your life and my life. He cuts away those things in your life and my life that aren't becoming and don't look pleasing. Why? Because God wanted to create in Moses a man of excellence. Do you ever stop and realize that God wants to create in your life a person of excellence, a person in whom he can look at your life, he watches your life, and he is so pleased by what you're becoming? And you're pruning. You say, well, I don't really like that. Pruning is not easy. You know, but David allowed God to prune him, and he learned to trust God in the pruning process. You know, the Bible doesn't say exactly all that Moses felt, but here's one thing God did do. God found in Moses a man that learned. You know why? You don't come out of your deserts like Moses did without learning and having a sensitive, tender, generous, and gentle heart. You see, when God knew Moses was ready, he brought him out of the desert. Now, I want you to look back at the passage again. And in Exodus chapter 3, I want you to look carefully. The Bible says, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert. And then in verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses, in the desert, allowed God to prune him, and listen carefully, listen carefully. When Moses had allowed God to prune him, God said, now it's time for me to use you in a great way. Don't ever forget. Pruning is not just for some religious purpose. It is God's plan for your greater usability. God has a plan to use you in a great way for his honor and for his glory, and it always includes pruning. Listen, God said, all right, angel, go ahead, you can go to him because I know his heart is ready. He's dealt with things. I've focused things. And now he's going to listen to me. Invariably, let me just share with you one simple reality why so many people's lives are in a hellish mess. I want to give you one real simple reason why so many people's lives is in a hellish mess. I mean, you know, real simple. Won't you listen? They won't take seriously listening to God. They won't take seriously listening to God. Well, I know I need to repent of sin, but I know I ought to do this, but Moses was not that way. He found out that God had a purpose for pruning. And then when the angel said, look at the, you know, he looked at the fire and he looked at the bush and it wasn't burned. Then he walked over to the bush and God knew. Now watch this. God knew Moses was now ready. After 40 years, after a long time in the desert, after he had been in the backside of the desert, after he had dealt with his temper, his murderous heart, his anger, his resentment, his ill will, now was the time for Moses to come out of the desert to lead 2 million people to the promised land. Can God use you to lead others to where he wants to take them, or do you just sort of mope around in your deserts? You see, deserts aren't a place to stay. They're a place of teaching and training, and they're a place that God brings us to, but whatever God brings you to, he'll always bring you through. And God brought Moses to the desert, and God brought Moses through the desert, and God found it was in the desert that he heard more of God than he did any other time in life. You don't learn the most from God in the good times. You learn the most about your God, your Father, your Lord and Savior in the deep, difficult times of life. You find his love, his care, his grace, his kindness. And Moses realized that God wasn't going to throw him away. God wasn't going to throw him away just because he committed an act of murder. You know what we do? Person's committed murder, throw him away. Can't be rehabilitated. Put them in prison, let them stay there for the rest of their life. You know what we do? We say more about the power of crime than we do the power of the cross, don't we? Now, I recognize some people they've reached that point that they're so rebellious they won't listen, and that's on their head. Moses was willing to listen. And God found in Moses' heart one who listened and one who learned. And one of the things that Moses found out, he came to understand the true freedom. Don't matter how, if you're on the inside of a jail cell or outside of a jail cell, if you don't come to experience God's freedom, you're still in prison even if you're outside. There's a lot of people in prison, and they're walking around looking free. But they're in prison because of ill will and things that are going on in their heart and their life. So secondly, deserts are for pruning. When you're in the desert, expect this. Expect God to prune you. Expect God to work on your life. Why? Because he loves you. Don't you love your yard if you've got a piece of property and you've got a why do you execute that grass every week? You know, you go out and you cut it, you execute. Why? Because you know it's not going to look good if it's not. Well, third, write it down. Deserts are preparation for future usability. Now, let me ask you this, and I want you to listen. Do you think that God knew what he had in store for Moses' life? Oh, yes. He knew that, Moses, if you respond to these the right way, here's what I can do in and to your life. You know, God had in store for Moses, if he responded right. Now, listen. Could Moses respond wrong to all this? Yes, he could. There's a lot of people that die never being used by God in a great way because they respond wrong. They get mad at God. They get angry at God. They resent God. And you know, that's a human response because the devil will feed you enough ammunition. Well, if God loved you, why did he allow that to happen? If God loved you, why don't God allow more good things into your life? Listen, Job said, I came into this world naked and I'll go out of this world naked. And though the skin worms devour this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. And one of the things that God does in the deserts, oh, I wish you would underline it, God prepares you for future usability. You see, Moses had to go through a time that included inspection, inventory, confession, cleansing, and learning. Let me ask you a question. Will you let God inspect you? Will you let God inventory you? Do you let God bring you to confession? Do you let God bring you to cleansing, where you just let Him have everything on your heart? Do you allow yourself to learn? Now, please listen to what I'm getting ready to say. It's amazing how many people are information rich. They've got a Bible, they own a Bible, they read the Bible, but they're application poor. You know, Moses had no idea. He had no thought about leading a nation. Now, I want you to listen. Moses had simply led sheep. Don't you think it's a pretty far cry from leading sheep to leading a nation? You're going to hear this, but some of you are not going to hear it. God doesn't have to have you to go through some type of vast course to place you in a great place. The same God that used Moses to shepherd sheep is the same God that used him to lead over millions of people. God has a way of moving you from right here to moving you to right there when you're willing to allow him to teach you and to train you, and you're willing to do everything that he tells you to do. Why do some people excel? Why do some people not? Because they won't allow God to teach them. They won't allow themselves to confess. They won't allow themselves to God to take inventory. And so God can't use them. But when you do, listen, God was preparing Moses for future usability. Sometimes we say, well, all I need is school. No, you don't. All I need is education. No, you don't. You need more than just education. You need to allow the Father to chisel in your life, to work in your life, to bring you to investigate, to take inventory, to cleanse, to inspect. And when that happens, He can move you from where you are on to where He wants you to be. You see, what we've got is this. We've got a lot of people who think, if I get enough education, I can have a big position in somewhere in life. If you look at the backdrop of some of the greatest men in the world, it's interesting, their education. Do you know where Billy Graham said that he learned his education? Some of his greatest disciplines was those morning he got out at 2 o'clock in the morning to go milk 22 head of cattle. And then that afternoon, he'd milk those 22 all over again. And then the next morning, get up about 2 or 3 o'clock. He said, I always wanted to stay up late. He said, my dad never said a whole lot to me. He said, I stayed up late one time. And he said, my dad came at 2 o'clock in the morning. He said, it's all right if you stay up late, but you got to get out at 2. He learned some of those lessons. Now, sometimes we don't like to think, well, why does God want to use my life? Why not? You know what we do? We short-circuit ourselves. We look at ourselves, well, I'm not that type of person that God can use. You know what I've shared with you different times about backward and being bashful. And maybe for those that have never heard it, I've shared with the church family different times when I was in high school or when I wouldn't even ask a girl out on a date because I was afraid she'd take me up on it. And here God has me preaching in front. You don't realize where God has brought this boy. Here's why. Because God has purpose for your life. We sell ourselves so short. Listen, Moses, you're leading sheep. Do you want to know that I'm going to use you to lead millions of people? Listen, we say, well, God can't do that. You say more about your belief in God in that one statement than you do anything else. Listen, the God who called you is able to do it. Amen? He can do with you whatever He wants to. All you've got to do is say, Father, I'm in your hands, whatever, wherever, whenever, however, I give my life to you. And He will prepare you for future usability. And it will never be chintzy, cheap, or anything small in His economy. Because after all, He governs the universe. And if you look in Scripture very carefully, governing is the family business. God our Father governs the universe. Amen? Well, isn't it the family business to govern? What if God gives you a sphere of governing? You say, well, I'm just not kidding. Listen, that's the family business. His Son sits at the right hand of the Father. His angels do their bidding in the galaxies. And so governing is in the family business. So only God knows what He has in store for your life. But listen, If you don't allow yourselves time in the desert and you try to short circuit the desert, you can miss what God wants to do in your life. You know what we try to do? We try to get out of the deserts as quick as we can. You know, get me out of this situation. But here's the reality. You're going to die someday. I'm going to die someday. And here's a question. You have to ask yourself this question. Do I want to die knowing that my life was not fully usable to the Father? Do you want to die knowing that you short-circuited the hand of God in developing your life? You short-circuited the God who created you. He had for you this, but you settled for this because you wouldn't let Him teach you in the desert. You wouldn't let Him train you in the desert. You wouldn't allow yourself to inventory yourself. You just sort of got busy. You see, we can be busy in life and really get excited about what we're doing. But here's the wonderful reality. God has so much more. You know, maybe you're here tonight and God has a pastorate for you. God has a mission calling for you. God has places He wants to take you. You've heard me share in past times when I had opportunity twice to travel to Russia. As I was getting on board in JFK, leaving New York, stepped on the 767, and heading to Russia. Somewhere, maybe over the Atlantic or one of the seas. And then when I touched down in Russia, I thought, God, why this person? You know, I knew I was there under His direction. It wasn't a trip that I wanted necessarily to be on, but is I had to go to be obedient to the Father. And when you allow yourself, you see, God's concerned about His world, and it's just not this side of the country. He's concerned about all over the world. And you see, here's what happens. God can take you and use you, place you where He wants you to be used, and He'll bless wherever you are. You remember the life of Moses. He's coming to the end of his life. He walks up on top of the mount. He don't get to go into the promised land, but he looks over it. And he sees. And he realizes the wonderful journey that he had been used by God to bring the people to the promised land. And I don't doubt in my own mind, but what he might have done this. He thought back to that time in the desert. That time when he thought life was changed and he was going to be there forever. You see, God has a way of catapulting you to the front of the line. There is a principle in Scripture, and I pray you never forget it. There is a principle called the principle of one day's time. In the Old Testament book of Genesis, it's evidenced in one young man. His name is Joseph. He's been in his desert. He's been accused. He's been accused of sexual misconduct. He's been in the pit. He's been in prison. He's been through all sorts of things in his life. And he's in a prison. In one day's time, I want you to notice, in one day's time, God took Joseph out of the pit, out of the prison, out of that king's prison, and he put him in front of Pharaoh, and here's what Pharaoh said. Only in respect to the throne will I be greater than you, Joseph. God took Joseph 13 long years. After those 13 years, he catapulted him because Joseph learned, as Moses learned, how to respond to the deserts in life. What do you do with yours? Do you get mad? Get angry? Just say, I don't care anymore. Some people just do this. God, you don't like me anymore? I quit. And son, say, God, whatever you have to do, whatever you have to teach me, I'll learn it. Because my desire is to be whatever you purpose for me to be. And you know what will happen to your life? You can't even dream what God will do with your life. Some of you don't have a clue where God's going to take you. You know why? Because you're responding faithfully. You say, what will God do with my life? You just hang on to the journey, and you'll be amazed. He'll bring you through the desert. He'll bring you all the way through it, and then He'll elevate your life for His glory so you can be an example and a witness to others along the journey. Heavenly Father, thank You so very, very much for showing us You have a purpose in the deserts. Father, the deserts are not by accident or by chance, but they come by the divine hand of God. Thank You, Father. And Lord, You never, never get on to us when we hurt in the desert, when we cry out to You, because You love to meet our needs. You love to minister to us because You love us. Father, I pray for that person who needs to come, who needs to respond to this invitation. They need to come to Christ. They need to come and rededicate their life. They need to come for some other reason. You have Your will and Your way, is our prayer. In Jesus we pray.